welcome to the GRTIQ podcast. This is a special release of the podcast where I speak with Mathieu Di Mercurio, VP of Product and Strategy at Streaming Fest. On April 16th, 2024, the Streaming Fest team, in collaboration with Yaniv Tal from Geo and Sam Green from Semiotic, released a blog post that eloquently explored the relationship between the graph, AI, and Geo. I invited Matt onto the podcast to talk about where the idea for the post came from, the insights and observations he and the Streaming Fest team shared, why this theme of AI and the graph is concrete and not just hype, and much more. And, as you're about to hear, Matt presents another compelling argument in favor of the evolving nature of the graph as a platform and what it means for the future of the protocol. I started my discussion with Matt by asking about where the idea for the post originally came from.
So, around the beginning of the year, we saw everyone that was posting around their prediction for what's coming in tech, in like the blockchain industry in general, got like really interested, got a lot of discussions going internally at Streaming Fest. And we wanted to share some of our opinions, some of the things that we've been working on, some of the things that we're excited about. And so, yeah, like now is the right time where, after digesting all that information, after having lots of interesting discussions, after building some things even, we felt ready to share a bit more of that vision with the rest of the world.
And I always find it interesting when I do a special highlight of a post, or if I find out that someone within the graph community is writing a blog post, of who the intended reader was. But who did you and the team have in mind as you wrote this blog?
So we had like a pretty broad audience, right? Like we wanted to bring ideas that would resonate with practitioners, with people that are building AI systems, something that wasn't read 100 times. Because I mentioned that we read a lot of the existing blog posts. A lot of them were recycling the same type of information. So we wanted like something new for even for people that are in the field. But we also wanted to make that accessible to people that are just in general interested by blockchain technology, by AI, and how those type of technologies can overlap and can help each other.
Matt, for listeners who haven't had a chance to read this, can you just briefly summarize what the blog post is and what you write about?
Yes. So we're talking about those two fields between AI and blockchain coming together, and how the graph, Streaming Fest, Geo can help in bringing that vision to life. So really, we start from the fact that AI is getting more and more centralized. A few companies are building the largest models. They're sitting on tons of GPUs, on tons of data. And those two things, like the compute power and the data assets that you have, is what allows you to build great AI models, especially LLMs that we've seen over the past year. And we think that there's a better path forward. I think we can make that type of technology accessible to more people through decentralized solutions. And one avenue to take that to more people is leveraging decentralized knowledge graphs to augment the value that the LLMs can provide to their users by feeding them with up-to-date, curated information. And so in the blog post, we go in more details around like how we see that retrieval augmented generation. So the idea of you retrieve information that is relevant to your question or to the task that you're trying to accomplish, then you use that information to prompt your LLM. And so you feed that information to a model so that it provides a more accurate, more precise answer. And so, yeah, like kind of bridging the gap between what decentralized knowledge graphs can do and what a lot of people have been trying for the first time, like over the past year with LLMs, with ChatGPT and all of those tools.
And you go into a lot of detail within the post itself about a lot of those themes. If we think about then distilling the central argument or position that
the team at Streaming Fast is sort of taking here. I mean, when I read it, I saw it as a little bit of like, we're on the cusp of surrendering AI to centralized Web 2 type companies, which could be disastrous. But there's also this other point, which is the graph is really well positioned to feed AI's accurate and verified data. So I guess with all these ideas bouncing around, what was the main sort of argument as you see it of the post?
Yeah. So really, those two things, I think there's a part that where people that create data should really own that data. And right now we're seeing that with the lawsuits between big content producers and large companies that are training models where like basically they scraped the web, they got like access to some data without asking, and that data ends up being leveraged for applications that it wasn't intended for. And also without having any traceability and without really rewarding the content producer. So this is like, I think, a big issue and something that we're like starting to talk about and starting to open a solution space for this, like an avenue for fixing that broken model where anyone can steal the data. Like there is no traceability of all this. So I think, yeah, like that's one part. And the other part is like getting into a bit more concretely how the graph can help. So really thinking about the graph's positioning as an indexing technology in general, the graph has a central role to play in the future of AI. We all understand that all of those AI models are only as good as the data that you're feeding into the model. So if we can extract better, more refined, if we can be more efficient at extracting that data, then the models will be much better. They can also be trained in a way that doesn't require huge funding, access to a fleet of GPUs, and yeah, like a way where a lot more people would be able to build those models and leverage them eventually. So I think in the aspect of pre-processing and data management, the graph is already like in an amazing position to support this and has a lot of the building blocks that are required to get there. But I think there's a part that's even more exciting to this when you bring in the idea of the world of data services. So beyond just like indexing, having services that are accessible on the network and that can be run by indexer and that anyone can apply. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because beyond just pure text generation, which is amazing, like we've all used ChatGPT, Gemini, any combination of those tools, but they're limited to outputting text. And the next level is like building agents. So tooling that can actually interact with the world and can like call APIs, not just give you a response in text, but also actually make a decision for you or like call an external service. And where the graph can play a role here is that if it can become the platform where all of those services run. And so now you have that idea where the graph helps you to collect data to train your model or to make that data accessible to the model. But then it is the platform on top of which you can build agents so that those models can interact with the world and not only give you recommendation, but also do things for you. And Semiotic has built an agent like this where you're starting by chatting. They get data from substreams so that you can run analysis on the blockchain data. You can have like a trend of transactions, of token price, of whatever you want. And then based on the analysis that you've done, helped by the LLM and the data that it has accessible, you can make a transaction through the agent. So in text, you can ask for that request and it's going to call an external API. So now it's not just a chatbot that will tell you a few things, but it retrieves data, it posts data somewhere else. It's really something that can bring the level of automation to the next level, that can make us as humans a lot more efficient, because now I have one UI in which I can do all of these things. Whereas like I would have opened Excel, do my analysis on my side, and then like go on a Dex and like do some transactions. Like all of that UX can become a lot more slick, a lot simpler. And I can see how the world of data services can be the foundation, the platform on which this type of application is built in the future.
That's an amazing vision for the graph. And longtime listeners of the podcast know that this idea that the graph is a platform upon which people build has been spoken of in a lot of prior episodes. I think listeners of the podcast are familiar with the graph. They're familiar with AI. I've done a lot of episodes and some panel discussions on the topic. But then we introduce in this post something about geo. And you've referenced it a little bit here in some of the things you've shared so far. But how does geo sort of fit into this platform vision of the graph?
So going back a little bit more to the idea of knowledge graphs, right? Like, so on top of pure content, like free-form text and natural language, which like it is a great foundation, but it's really hard to parse. Like, it's hard to parse for humans because it takes you a lot of time, but it's also still hard even for LLMs that are really good at this, but that data is all unstructured. So you're assuming that the model will be able to understand from all of that text, its context and how things relate to each other. Geo is a way to create that knowledge graph and connect information between different pieces of content. So you can publish content, you can connect it to different concepts, different ideas, people, and that, like the links that are being made, those relations can be curated by people. So really you have that idea of creating a graph of, well, like it, I was about to say a graph of knowledge, but which is like really what it is doing, right? Like taking like this idea of raw data and making it into higher level concepts and bringing it together. And the important aspect I think that geo is bringing is that this is like done in a decentralized way where everyone can contribute, right? Like you can't imagine one person writing Wikipedia. You can't imagine one person organizing the world's information. This has to be done as a collective. This has to be validated by different people. And that's really what geo is helping with. So, and once you have that, I think that opens the gates for more collaboration, more creativity, because that's how, like, by connecting ideas, that's how new ideas come up, right? And so I think, yeah, it opens a lot more applications on top of that knowledge that has been aggregated.
Well, as is mentioned in the post itself, Yaniv Tal, the founder and CEO over at Geo, contributed to this post, as did Sam Green over at Semiotic, two names that you've already mentioned there. And so I think I want to ask you this question about, clearly you have to do some research, you have to do some collaborations with the Geo team, Semiotic, you're working internally with the Streaming Fast team. As you're doing this research, did you learn anything new about the graph or AI or even the way the graph and AI could converge more in the future?
Well, that vision for the graph being a platform on top of which AI agents can be built, like kind of, I've been able to refine this a lot by writing this blog post, by like going deeper into that topic and understand really what this would look like. Look at other applications in different industries that are doing something maybe a bit similar, maybe some inspirations of platform plays, maybe like some that are not even in the AI space, some that are like parallel in the AI space, but in completely different verticals. So yeah, got a lot deeper on that side. Got the chance to collaborate with the teams at Semiotic, at Geo, like learn more about also what they were working on, what their thought was about the space and where we were going with the graph as individual companies and like as an industry and in general. So yeah, lots of interesting insights and I think better understanding of like those real applications, because as we were talking about at the beginning, there's been a lot of talks about how AI is going to change the world, how blockchain is going to change the world, and how those two things together are going to be even better. And I think we need to navigate that well and bring that to concrete applications, concrete use cases. And that's also like a big part of what we wanted to do. And sometimes when I read like the 10th blog post that was like talking about something very general that was like just a high level vision that had nothing that would work in the next year, for example, or in the next few years, I was like a little bit not depressed, but I wasn't really excited by that, those visions, and wanted to bring our piece here and make that a lot more concrete.
So Matt, I may be wrong about this, but it seems to me a blog post like this couldn't have been written a year ago or before that. So is that right? I mean, is now the right time for a blog like this to kind of talks about the graph as a platform and explores more about geo and AI and how it all comes together?
Yes, I feel like with that like very rapid adoption, I would say like a year ago, we were at the point where like GPT-4 was just released. People were starting to play with it. ChatGPT was around for like something like 6 months. So people had an idea of where this was going, but I feel like we've had enough time to play with the technology, to build like those toy projects, small little things on the side, but then really think about it and bring that to, as I was mentioning, like real application production use cases, something that you can put in the hands of a real user, and something that's not just like, hey, let's use that new cool technology. And I feel like we're getting to that point. And also a year ago, I feel like there was a lot more uncertainty of what is that technology and what are we really going to be doing with it? Because 2 years ago, no one would have been able to predict what happened about a year ago. But I feel like now, when I'm looking at all of the releases, all of the improvements especially in the AI space, yes, the field is moving very fast, but it's in a way that in a way that can be planned ahead. And so we know that retrieval augmented generation is getting better, that models are getting cheaper, that open source models are catching up with the closed source ones. And these things are moving really fast, but they're moving in the direction that people would have predicted maybe 6 months ago. And so that's why I feel like now is a good time. Kind of a convoluted way to answer your question, sorry, but now is the right time because I have a lot more confidence in what we're talking about today than I would have had a year ago. A year ago we were throwing a lot of ideas and we're unsure of where this would all end.
That's a brilliant answer and I appreciate it. Not convoluted at all, and a great explanation as to why now is the right time to be exploring and talking about these things. You did mention this a moment ago, and I want to go back and just double click on it, but the crypto industry, and I guess you could even argue a lot of industries throughout the world, are making a lot of claims and noise about AI. And in the case of the graph, you're saying that there's some real concrete use cases here, that it sort of doesn't have to fall into that trap of being all hype, all noise. What is it about the graph that makes it so well suited to deliver on concrete value as it relates to AI?
Yes, so I think some of the things that we've talked about, right? Like the idea of being able to index blockchain technology in a way that is like that can be compared to anything else, right? Like much more efficiently, faster, more flexibility. All of this is at the core of everything that builds on top of AI, right? Like first, the foundational models have to be trained on high volume of data and high quality of data. So that's like just building that foundation requires technology that is aligned with what the graph is doing. And then I think that the idea of what we're talking about around knowledge graphs, right? This needs to also be in the open and like a way to organize information that is not feasible in a closed environment, right? Like organizing that information, having it curated by a community of people. This is not something that's always going to be closed and that you can completely trust a company to do this. And even if you trust the company to do it, there's just so much data to curate. Like how are they going to do that? Like they won't have an infinite supply of people to label that data, to connect information together. New information is going to be created at a faster pace than they can consume. And so I think that's one of the part where the graph can support a lot. And that the vision for the world of data services, like I think is a really strong component that will, as I was mentioning, build that platform that people can build on top of. And I feel like this is the real answer to like, how do we run agents on chain? How do we run those services so that they're verifiable? And yeah, like we've talked about like some of the example applications. So like with Geo, with what Semiotic has built, like I think it's just scratching the surface of everything that we can be doing. Like once we start seeing those first few applications, I think a lot more developers are going to get excited about that and like continue building on top of it.
So Matt, I think the final question I want to ask you is about the future of the graph. So AI is a budding story. Clearly the post that you and the team have written here tells a very interesting angle and evolution of the protocol into a platform of which it's servicing AI. What does your blog post ultimately say about the future of the graph? Has it changed your vision at all?
I would say those two parts of the vision that I'm very excited about is building this knowledge graph and being like becoming a reference for data, for knowledge that would be accessible through the network. And that second vision of like being a platform where people can build applications on top, and especially AI-driven applications where you have interactions between a lot of different services that all run on the network, all accessible through the graph network, and with an AI in the pilot seat, right? Like as an orchestrator of all of those integrations. So yeah, I think that's really the vision and the direction that we're taking, something that like we are very interested and excited about. And I think all of this, like everything that has been built in the past around like indexing data, getting access to the data, making that available to indexers and like through the network, this is like a very important building block towards that vision. And so to me, it's not a shift in vision, right? Like, because you have to have those building blocks available to be able to start talking about more complex systems with multiple services that interact with each other. So does it like completely change the vision? No, but I feel like we've been working in a very interesting direction and are now at an inflection point where we're seeing that what we've built is really powerful and we can continue building on top and multiply the value through those applications on top of that network.
Matthew D. Mercurio, thank you so much for joining the GRTIQ podcast and talking about this incredible post that you and the Streaming Fast team just released with the help of Yaniv Tal over at Geo and Sam Green over at Semiotic. If listeners want to learn more about you, the team at Streaming Fast, or dig a little deeper into this post, what's the best way to get started?
First, thanks for having me. It's been really a great time. Really, really excited to share that with everyone. So the blog post is on our Medium. So streamingfastio.medium.com. You can also follow us on X at streamingfastio. And yeah, all that information is going to be in the show notes caption. So you can find that information here too.
This has been a production of the GRTIQ podcast. For more information, including detailed show notes, visit grtiq.com/podcast. That's grtiq.com/podcast. GRT.IQ/podcast.
Please consider contributing to this project and helping build the community by subscribing and leaving a review.
GRT.IQ podcast.